If the perverted mind is cast aside, the ocean will dry up. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 312, Zen Buddhism, part 17. And it's the Platform Sutra, part 5. So, on the Zen Buddhism segment or chapter, or you know, when the clock says 2, we do Platform Sutra. When the clock says 8, we the 10-sided clock, the thing above my head. For those on the audio only, I'm talking to the people who can see me over on YouTube. Anyway, so this is the 5th time that we're reading this Platform Sutra, but it's the 17th Zen Buddhism episode. So if you want, this is actually kind of, you might want to start with part 1 of the Platform Sutra if you haven't heard the previous recitals from the Platform Sutra, because it's kind of a continuous, like, it's like jumping in the middle of a... There's episodic and serialized, right? So this is more of a serialized segment where the rest of the Zen Buddhism segment is from Shobo Genzo, which is more episodic, you might say. So if you want, go ahead and check out the Zen Buddhism playlist and find Platform Sutra 1, and you can start there. But for those who are all caught up, without further ado, I will go ahead and pick up where we left off last time. 34. The prefect Wei bowed deeply and said, quote, "Your exposition of the Dharma was certainly amazing. Right now I have some small doubts that I should like to ask you about, and hope that out of your great compassion you will resolve them for me." End quote. The master said, "If you have doubts, then ask. There is no need to repeat yourself." End quote. The prefect asked, quote, "Isn't the master's dharma in the essentials of the teaching of the first patriarch, the Indian Bodhidharma?" End quote. The master said, quote, "Yes." End quote. The prefect said, quote, "I have heard that when Bodhidharma was converting Emperor Wu of Liang, the emperor asked Bodhidharma, quote with the quotes, "I have spent my whole life up to now building temples, giving alms, and making offerings. Have I gained merit or not?" End quote with the quotes. And that Bodhidharma answered saying, quote with the quotes, "No merit." End quote with the quotes. Then the emperor was greatly disappointed and banished Bodhidharma across the border. "I don't understand this story, and beg of you to explain it." End quote. This should be fun. I like that story too. The 6th patriarch said, quote, "Indeed, he gained no merit. Do not doubt the words of Bodhidharma. The emperor was attached to a heterodox way," meaning not orthodox. They don't really say heretical. That's more of a Christian thing, but that's kind of what it means. Like, he was attached to a wrong view, wrong way of thinking. "He was attached to a heterodox view and did not know the true Dharma," end quote. In other words, if you build a stupa, then you get great merit, even though it says that in the Lotus Sutra. You're supposed to build the stupa because you want to, not because you want the merit. Never mind. The prefect asked, quote, "Why did he have no merit?" end quote. The master said, quote, "Building temples, giving alms, and making offerings are merely the practice of seeking after blessings. One cannot make merit with blessings. Merit is in the Dharmakaya, not in the field of blessings. The Dharma nature itself there is merit. Seeing into your own nature is kung." What? Oh, merit kung te, in parentheses. And then seeing into your own nature is kung. Straightforward mind is te. Oh. The Dharma nature itself is merit. Merit kung te. Seeing into your own nature, straightforward mind. That's merit. Interesting. Inwardly, see the Buddha nature. Outwardly, practice reverence. If you make light of all men and do not cut off the ego, then you yourself will be without merit. If your own nature is false, the Dharma body is without merit. If in successive thoughts there is virtuous practice and there is straightforward mind, merit will not be held lightly and practice will always be reverent. Your own practice with the body is kung. Your own practice with the mind is te. Merit is created from the mind. Blessings and merit are different. Emperor Wu did not understand the true principle. Hence, the patriarch was not in the wrong. End quote. 35. The prefect bowed deeply and asked, quote, I notice that some monks and laymen always invoke the Buddha Amitabha and desire to be reborn in the West. I beg of you to explain whether one can be born there or not and thus resolve my doubts. End quote. You've heard of Pure Land Buddhism? Maybe, maybe not. So Pure Land Buddhism, that was actually Dogen's religion of birth or upbringing, from what I understand. And then he went to seek out something that made more sense to him. So he came to China and he found Chan and then came back and established it in Japan. The idea basically amounts to, yes, you invoke Amitabha every day and then you'll be reborn in the Pure Land. Now, Amitabha is red and the people with red skin in that way of that form of Buddhism. I don't know if it's somewhere between Mahayana and Vajrayana. I don't know exactly when that was introduced, but Amitabha is from Mahayana. He predates Vajrayana. So I don't know if he'd be considered red, but he would be considered from the West in Mahayana. Never mind. So he's from the West. So I think reborn in the West means reborn in the Pure Land, which is somewhere between being a human and being in a state of nirvana. So in other words, from what I understand, is it's a place where you can continue your meditation and continue your efforts toward enlightenment without so many distractions, without a lot of the temptations and things like that. So it's a very, like, good place. It's like, it's a little bit reminiscent of the idea of purgatory, but not quite. Purgatory has more of like a purging and that it's unpleasant and that eventually you'll get to heaven. But this is more like, oh, this is a lot more convenient than the flesh. here I can surely attain nirvana, kind of thing, is the idea, from what I understand. But again, don't take my word for it because I'm not an expert. I'll keep reading. The master said, quote, prefect, listen. And I shall explain things for you. At Shravasti, the world-honored one preached of the Western land in order to convert people. And it is clearly stated in the sutra, quote within quotes, the Western land is not far, end quote within quotes. It was only for the sake of people of inferior capacity that the Buddha spoke of farness. To speak of nearness is only for those of superior attainments. Although in man, there are naturally two types. In the Dharma, there is no inequality. In delusion and awakening, there is a difference, as may be seen in slowness and fastness of understanding. The deluded person concentrates on Buddha and wishes to be born in the other land. The awakened person makes pure his own mind. Therefore, the Buddha said, quote within quotes, in accordance with the purity of the mind, the Buddha land is pure. End quote within quotes. Prefect. The people of the East, China, just by making the mind pure, are without crime. The people of the West, the Pure Land of the West, the Amitabha place, not currently here referring to India, as far as I know, if their minds are not pure, are guilty of a crime. The deluded person wishes to be born in the East or West. For the enlightened person, any land is just the same. If only the mind has no impurity, the Western land is not far. If the mind gives rise to impurities, even though you invoke the Buddha and seek to be reborn in the West, it will be difficult to reach. If you eliminate the 10 evils, you will proceed 100,000 li. If you do away with the 8 improper practices, you will pass across 8,000 li. But if you practice straightforward mind, you will arrive there in an instant. I find this very interesting, because this sounds like a sermon that could be given to Pure Land Buddhists, and it would not contradict their belief structure, their faith, if you will. It's very interesting. Okay, I'll keep reading. Prefect, practice only the 10 virtues. Why should you seek rebirth in the Western land? Okay, he's telling them, don't invoke Amitabha to ask to be born in the Western land. He's kind of directly saying that. But he also is not contradicting. He's not saying, oh yeah, the whole Amitabha Western land thing is, nah. But he's saying that Lord Buddha said that he said this, but I don't know what sutra he said it in. That's my ignorance. If you know the origin of Lord Buddha actually saying this thing, oh, there's a footnote. Kuang Wu Liang Shou Qing. That's the origin of the line that resulted in Pure Land Buddha, is Kuang Wu Liang Shou Qing. I thought it was going to say like the something something sutra. So, okay. I'll keep reading. Yes. If you do not cut off the 10 evils, what Buddha can you ask to come welcome you? If you awaken to the sudden Dharma of birthlessness, you will see the Western land in an instant. Right. Yeah. Okay. It's sort of like exoteric in a negative sense, because you can be exoteric but still get the point and not get hung up on the surface forms and rituals. It's like a person who, you know, craves, you know, wealth and has indulges their lust and you know, fears death and doesn't symbolically get crucified and rise with Christ, going and touching the coffin in which the bones of a saint is held, you know, and thinking that that is going to help them. It's like, it reminds me of that, like, the patriarch here is helping them cut through the kind of the BS, cut through the surface forms and get at what's underneath. This is how I'm processing this. I'm not saying that you need to equate these things. This is just, I'm in the process of learning and I've decided to record it and share it with you for whatever that's worth. By all means, get yourself a copy of this and read it with, so that you can hear it in your own mind without my commentary. But as far as Buddhist Books Podcast, that's what you get. If you awaken to the sudden Dharma of birthlessness, you will see the Western land in an instant. If you do not awaken to the sudden teaching of Mahayana, even if you concentrate on the Buddha and seek to be reborn, the road will be long. How can you hope to reach there? End quote. The sixth patriarch said, he's the one who was talking before, so I don't know. Sometimes it says the master said, sometimes it says the sixth patriarch, but presumably they're the same person. The sixth patriarch said, quote, I will move the Western land in an instant and present it to you right before your eyes. Does the prefect wish to see it or not? End quote. Well, I'm curious. The prefect bowed deeply. Quote, if I can see it here, why should I be reborn there? I ask you in your compassion to make the Western land appear for my sake. It would be wonderful. End quote. A little bit of shades for those of you who are watching, we're reciting the Gospel of Thomas on another channel. You know, where is the kingdom? The kingdom is right here, right now. You just need to replace your eyes with eyes, you know, and you'll be here. Like, wow, what? So, like, people imagining the kingdom of heaven as being as some other place, like up in the sky, like that, you know. Never mind. Like the gold Borg cube in chapter 22, you know what I'm saying? Or is it 21? The description. Anyway, regardless, let's keep reading. The master said, quote, "There is no doubt that the Western land can be seen here in China. Now let us disperse," end quote. The assembly was amazed and did not know what to do. The master said, quote, "You people assembled here, listen carefully. The physical body of man in this world is itself a city, and all of its inhabitants are bacterium." No, he didn't say that. I'd say a galaxy, but anyway. "The eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body are the gates to the city." Ah, okay. "Outside, there are 5 gates. Inside, there is the gate of consciousness. Mind is the ground. Self-nature is the king. If there is self-nature, there is a king. If self-nature departs, there is no king. If there is self-nature, the mind, the body and mind exist. If self-nature departs, the body and mind are destroyed. Since Buddha is made by your own nature, do not look for him outside your body. If you are deluded in your own nature, Buddha is then a sentient being. If you are awakened in your own nature, sentient beings are then Buddhas." Now remember, the reason we're reading this is because Dogen had said that the people in the south of China were wrongly practicing and wrongly thinking of Buddhism because they had been influenced by a misunderstanding of the sixth patriarch mixed with their own non-Buddhist traditions. And so I can kind of see where this is like getting to some edgy, like how Teilhard de Chardin skirts the line between like Unitarian Universalism and Gnosticism and, you know, strict Catholicism. And so this is kind of like going out toward the edge of like, whoa, so you're saying Buddha's in my body, you know, like, so Dogen clarifies, like, no, like, you have to do the work. If you have to get rid of the 10 evils, then you'll, you know, so-called be reborn in the pure land. But it's very near. If you get rid of the evils, in fact, it's right here, it's here already, then it kind of reframes the whole thing and shows the how the misunderstanding of the ideas or the symbols, the ideas, the metaphors can lead to just not getting it at all. Okay. Or getting it on a very surface level. But then, you know, with the idea of skillful means, like some people can only get it on a surface level. So you have to make room for them to just get it on a surface level. But when they get mad at the people who get it on a deeper level for having conversations about their deeper understanding of it because it seems to contradict their surface level understanding of it, then you gotta kick them in the face. No, don't kick people in the face. That's not very Buddhist. Ahimsa is the most important thing. You might want to, but no. Then what does that say about you, Mr. High and Mighty, esoteric, deep understanding of the inner nature of things? If you don't get the most basic thing of not getting angry with the fundy over there for... I'll keep reading. Compassion is Avalokiteshvara. Joyful giving is Mahastamaprapta. Capacity for purity is Shakyamuni, also known as Buddha. Straightforwardness is Maitreya. He's right there. The false view of the self is Mount Sumeru. The perverted mind is the great sea. and the passions are the waves. Sorry. The poisoned mind is an evil dragon. Troubles are fish and sea turtles. Delusions are supernatural demons. The three poisons are hell. Ignorance forms the realm of beasts, and the ten virtues are heaven. If there is no false view of the self, then Mount Sumeru will fall of itself. If the perverted mind is cast aside, the ocean will dry up. Needed that for the intro opening. Anyway, that's why I said it that way and looked meaningfully at the camera, but whatever. Okay, I'll keep reading. And when the passions are gone, the waves will subside. If the passions and harm are done away with, then the dragons and fish will disappear. This metaphor is getting very complex, but we can roll with it, right? Let the Tathagata of enlightenment within your own mind ground, release the luminosity of great wisdom. Shine upon the six gates, and with its purity, destroy the six heavens of the world of desire. If your own nature illuminates inwardly, the three poisons will be cast aside, and hell will at once be destroyed. If inside and outside are clear, this will be no different from the Western land. I love this. I mean, it's clearly illustrating, like, if you go through these internal, let's say, alchemical processes, for those who know the proper usage of the word alchemical, you're not using beakers to try to make lead out of gold. It's a process. If you go through this process, if you eliminate the 10 evils, embrace the 10 virtues, and open your eyes, you know, and all the things that he's kind of saying, then hell will cease to exist, isn't, you know? So it eliminates this idea of heaven and hell as constant fixed realms. I think they're always potential, but they only come into manifestation when a person causes them to manifest in the form of their being in it, so to speak. I mean, I like it. It goes beyond the borders not only of Zen, but of Buddhism and of Eastern philosophy, and it covers a lot of ground in my feeling right now. If inside and outside are clear, this will be no different from the Western land. If you don't carry out this practice, how will you be able to reach there? End quote. On hearing this sermon, the praising voices of those who sat before him rose to heaven, so to speak, you know, and all the deluded people understood clearly. The prefect bowed deeply and said in praise, quote unquote, what? Why is it quote unquote? Excellent, excellent. I think they used the wrong punctuation. It's a quote. It should be a quote. Excellent, excellent. We all hope that the sentient beings of the Dharma world who hear this will at once gain enlightenment. End quote. 36. We'll read one more, let's say. The master said, quote, good friends, if you wish to practice, it is all right to do so as laymen. You don't have to be in a temple. If you are in a temple but do not practice, you are like the evil-minded people of the West. So like if you're in the Pure Land or whatever, but you're having evil thoughts, right? So if you're a priest or a monk and you're in there being lecherous or whatever. If you are a layman but do not practice, you are practicing the good of the people of the East. Okay. Only I beg of you, practice purity yourselves. Then this is the Western land. If you can get into the flow of these metaphors, then it makes good sense. Otherwise, you're like, what? This is East? This is West? I'm confused. Or if you copy-paste some other stupid understanding of Eastern and Western onto this, then it's absolutely absurd. Then it sounds like he's like, well, you got pizza and Hollywood if you're doing the practice, and if you don't, then you've got chopsticks. No, not in any way at all is it saying anything like that. And some people do actually legitimately interpret it that way. So, like, for example, when they talk about the conversion of the red-skinned people in the West, you and I know that's Amitabha, because Amitabha is from the Western land in this context. But there's people who say, that must be the Native Americans. The First Nations people are going to become Tantric Buddhist, according to this prophecy, because they're in the West and they have red... No. Okay, you're free to interpret things how you wish. In your microcosm. Okay, keep reading, Edward, just a little bit more. The prefect asked, quote, Master, how should we practice as laymen? I wish you would instruct us, end quote. The master said, quote, good friends, I shall make a formless verse for you monks and laymen. When all of you recite it and practice according to it, then you will always be in the same place as I am. The verse says, proficiency in preaching and proficiency in mind are like the sun and empty space. Handing down this sudden teaching alone, enter into the world and destroy erroneous doctrines. Although in the teaching there is no sudden and gradual, in delusion and awakening, there is slowness and speed. In studying the teaching of the sudden doctrine, ignorant persons cannot understand completely. Although explanations are made in 10,000 ways, if you combine them with the principle, they become one. Within the dark home of the passions, the sun of wisdom must at all times shine. Erroneous thoughts come because of the passions. When correct thoughts come, the passions are cast aside. Use neither the erroneous nor the correct, and with purity you will attain to complete nirvana. Although enlightenment is originally pure, Bodhi in parentheses, is originally pure, creating the mind that seeks it is then delusion. Oh, enlightenment is pure. Creating the mind that seeks enlightenment is delusion. That's a good one. The pure nature exists in the midst of delusions. With correct thoughts alone, remove the three obstacles. If people in this world practice the way, there is nothing whatsoever to hinder them. If they always make clear the guilt within themselves, then they will accord with the way. All living things of themselves possess the way. If you part from the way and seek it elsewhere, seek it you may, but you will not find it. And, in the end, indeed, you will be disappointed. If you aspire to attain the way, practice correctly. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Had to. If in yourselves you do not have the correct mind, you will be walking in darkness and will not see the way. If you are a person who truly practices the way, do not look at the ignorance of the world. For if you see the wrong of people in the world, being wrong yourself, you will be evil. The wrong in others is not your own crime. Your own crime is of itself your crime. Only remove the wrong in your own mind. Crush the passions and destroy them. If you wish to convert an ignorant person, then you must have expedience. Do not allow him to have doubts. Then enlightenment, Bodhi, will appear. From the outset, the Dharma has been in the world. Being in the world, it transcends the world. Hence, do not seek the transcendental world outside, by discarding the present world itself. Erroneous views are of this world. Correct views transcend this world. If you smash completely the erroneous and the correct, then the nature of enlightenment will be revealed as it is. Just this is the sudden teaching. Another name for it is Mahayana. Having been deluded throughout a multitude of kalpas, one gains awakening within an instant. Well, I enjoyed today's reading. I hope that you did too. And next time we'll be back to reading Cholavaga, the lesser division in the Tipitaka, the Vinaya Pitaka, the best part of the Tipitaka. If you're weird, if you're Dwight Schrute, then Vinaya Pitaka would be your favorite Pitaka. All right. I hope that you enjoyed yourself here today. Feel free to like and subscribe. Feel free to post a comment below, you know. And all right. I'll go ahead and do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.